This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the past, shall we? Not ancient history at all, but let's discuss something. Because I just want to rewind. Let's stay with me here. 2019. Remember 2019? Not that long ago, of course. 2019, Donald Trump was president. We'll go January 2019, the very beginning of 2019. Donald Trump is president. It's his first term, obviously. The economy is going gangbusters, absolutely gangbusters. And if you were anybody in politics who's experienced with politics at all, and you're looking at Donald Trump's economic numbers, just his economic numbers, you're thinking this guy's going to get reelected. And this, just stay with me, we're going somewhere with this. Presidents get reelected when they have good economies. It's just one of those things that is a rule in American politics. It's very, very hard to get out a sitting president, to have him lose his reelection bid. Once you're there, it's easier to stay there. But presidents with relatively stable, it doesn't even have to be going gangbusters, but pretty stable, solid economies, they get reelected. Can't get rid of them. But the economy wasn't solid by the time his reelection came around. What happened there? COVID. We got a virus. America got a virus. A virus that a bunch of quacky people, and look, Donald Trump himself participated in this, I get that, but a bunch of quacky people decided that the world's economy should simply stop moving in response to this virus. You see, it was a virus. And a bunch of people, scientists, doctors, really smart people, they decided that kids shouldn't go to school, you shouldn't go to work, restaurants should close. Of course, you can go buy liquor, but you remember all that, of course. Now, a couple things. Where did we get that virus? Where did it come from? China, okay? Where did we get the idea that shutting down a country on purpose was an appropriate response to a virus? Because do keep in mind, I know I'm not trying to rehash COVID here, but keep in mind that idea is completely bonkers and has been rejected many times throughout history. Yes, portions of your economy will shut down when there's a virus, when there's some kind of a sickness, but you don't ever point to your economy and say, stop moving. Hey, close your business. But that idea went mainstream during COVID. Where did we get that idea? Also China. So we got the COVID from China. We got the idea to shut down our economy from China. And now we combine that with some things that we just learned recently. Cash Patel, FBI Director Cash Patel, just put out a very, very interesting report. The report is that China had mass-produced fake American driver's licenses. And they fake-produced those mail-in or those driver's licenses because they wanted Joe Biden to win the election. They mass-produced fake driver's licenses so people could send in illegal votes so Joe Biden could win an election. All this is already ugly, is it not? All this is already nefarious. But wait, when you dig into it, it's actually even worse than that, you see, because the report doesn't just lay out that China created a bunch of fake IDs for people to go in and vote illegally. The report also shows that the FBI destroyed the evidence of all that. You see, a bunch of people in the FBI came forward and said, hey, the Chi-Coms, We have a report right here. They're getting involved in the election. They're trying to defeat Donald Trump. And the FBI said, oh, that's great. Destroy all the evidence of that. Ignore everything you've seen. But wait, it's actually worse than that. While they were destroying the evidence that China was getting involved in the election to try to ensure Donald Trump couldn't win again, the head of the FBI was saying things like this.
The intelligence community's consensus is that Russia continues to try to influence our elections, primarily through what we would call malign foreign influence. But we certainly have seen very active efforts by the Russians to influence our election in 2020 through what I would call more the malign foreign influence side of things. Social media, use of proxies, state media, online journals, et cetera, an effort to both sow divisiveness and discord, and I think the intelligence community has assessed this publicly, to primarily to denigrate Vice President Biden.
Kind of cut off at the end there, so you didn't hear it, but to denigrate Vice President Biden. While the FBI, remember, he gave that testimony after we knew this, while the FBI was in possession of knowledge, knowing there was a Chinese scheme to get Donald Trump out of office, they knew it, they knew about the driver's licenses, they knew about all of it. After they had knowledge of it, they destroyed that knowledge of it and then went to the American people repeatedly and told the American people that Russia was trying to win the election for Donald Trump. It's not just that we could potentially be looking at China unleashing a virus to get rid of Donald Trump in the presidency. That's that it looks like the FBI and the intelligence community was complicit in that. I understand we're supposed to sit here every single night and talk about Israel and Iran, but I'm sorry, if our intelligence community, including the FBI, is joining with communist China to bounce the Republican president to get Joe Biden into office, that's kind of the biggest story on planet Earth. Now, let's combine that with some other things we know. Joe Biden and China. Now, if you've watched this show, if you've consumed any news from the right, at least over the last 4 years, you're aware of the connections, unbelievable connections. Let's first of all, let's talk about Air Force Two being vice president. When you are the vice president of the United States of America, I know you are not a king, I get that, but how other countries look at it is you are. You have an insane amount of power and money at your disposal when you are the Vice President of the United States of America. So let's say I was Vice President Jesse. Don't worry, that's never going to happen. And I wanted to go visit Singapore. Never even been to Singapore. I don't know, heard it's a nice place. But let's say I wanted to visit Singapore. I would go get on Air Force Two and I would show up to a king's welcome. It would be heads of state, red carpet, five-star hotels. Yes, Mr. Kelly, can we show you our finest landmarks? Yes, we've brought in only the highest quality toilet paper for you. When Joe Biden was vice president of the United States of America, he took a trip to China on Air Force Two. But he had a passenger. Not just the Secret Service, not just some reporters. Hunter Biden went along. And when Joe Biden walked off those stairs, hopefully he didn't trip. When Joe Biden got his red carpet, his heads of state, and he got in the cars with his big security detail and cruised off to do official business, Hunter didn't go along. Hunter went off and met with some business partners, if you will. The Biden family is so involved with China that Joe Biden's been having to answer questions about this for years.
China is likely to become a major issue in this election, in part because of the coronavirus. I think you've been critical of the way the administration handled China. The administration has been critical of the way you, when you were vice president, were dealing with China. I guess I want to ask you, do you think that this is going to, in fact, be a major issue? And are you vulnerable on this issue at all because of your son's business dealings in China?
No, I don't believe so at all. My son's business dealings were not anything with everybody that he's talking about, not even remotely, number one.
Oh, well, that clears everything up. Remember on the heels of what we just found out about China, remember how often Joe Biden told us he and Xi, they were besties?
Fact is that I have met with Xi Jinping more than any other world leader has. I've had over 68 of hours of private meetings, just he and I with simultaneous interpreters. I spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping when I was vice president and subsequent to that. And he once asked me in the Tibetan Plateau, could I define America for him? And I mean it sincerely, not a joke. I said, yes, one word, possibilities. I've allegedly met more face-to-face with Xi Jinping than any world leader has. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
Interesting, isn't it? And let's talk about what happened after all this. China unleashed a virus on the world. China did something to ensure Joe Biden got a lot of votes. We don't know how much it was, but China did something to ensure they got a lot of votes. The Federal Bureau of Investigation destroyed the evidence of that and then told America that Donald Trump and China were best friends. And then we all woke up, found out a bunch of ballots, some kind of ballots, got dropped at 2 a.m. and Joe Biden was the next president of the United States of America. And immediately after getting elected, he said this.
We know, you know, we have got to still reckon with the impact of climate change. That clean energy transition is not just coming, it is here.
There is no amount of domestic production that we can do when we're dealing with a volatile global commodity where the price is set globally. There's no amount of domestic production we can do to reduce or eliminate our vulnerability as a country to that volatility. The only way to do that is to reduce the energy intensity of the economy overall, which means shifting to cleaner sources of energy.
It is just not tenable. It should motivate us to accelerate the transition to clean energy.
Clean energy. Right away, we started transitioning. Biden said it, his whole cabinet said it, but who would you work with if you were going to try to do this fake transition to green energy? In fact, who would benefit financially from that? Janet Yellen, who would it be?
We are not attempting to decouple from China. We have a deep economic relationship, and that kind of competition, trade and investment, is beneficial to both sides.
Beneficial to both sides. Joe Biden got elected, mysteriously, and Joe Biden promptly enriched China. And that brings one more thing to mind as we think about China possibly stealing the United States presidency. Remember that spy balloon? Do you remember it? It was a relatively small story, I guess. Didn't get all the headlines. We talked about it here, of course. But we detected a Chinese spy balloon over Alaska. So I'm not going to insult you geographically. You know where Alaska is. Way out west, way up north. There's Alaska. Pacific Ocean. We detect a Chinese spy balloon. Now, this is a spy balloon. It's not a spy hypersonic missile. It's not a spy satellite out in space. It's a balloon. Do you have any idea how easy it would be and safe for America to take a spy balloon out of the sky? Do you have any idea how rural the land is between Alaska and, frankly, the continental United States of America, if we're talking about the lower 48, let alone all the rural area it will go over around that part? It would be nothing. It would be like you or I going to the gas station for a pack of gum. That's how easy it would be to take out a Chinese spy balloon. And yet, the Chinese spy balloon was allowed to traverse the entire United States of America doing figure eights over our military bases, collecting God knows how much data, and Joe Biden allowed them to get from Alaska to the Atlantic before we shot it down. Interesting when you add all these things together, isn't it? Oh, that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have to put our money where our morals are. We talk about that a lot. And there are a lot of reasons that this can be difficult. It can be difficult if you're buying a car or something like that. But thanks to PureTalk, your mobile provider makes this completely easy. Because with PureTalk, and I know I'm about to say a double negative here, there's no reason not to switch. It's easy. You keep your phone. You keep your phone number. You get to deal with Americans who speak English. Isn't that lovely? You can get a new phone if you want it. Your bill goes down. Oh, but wait. They're on the same 5G network. And their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. PureTalk shares and promotes our values. When they give back to veterans. Isn't that the kind of cell phone company you want? There's no reason not to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. They will set you up with anything you need. Switch to PureTalk. All right, let's talk about the protests over the weekend, or lack thereof. Let's talk about the age of the protesters, because that's something people were talking about. In fact, let's begin right there with the age. I know several reporters who were on the ground with the different No Kings protests, attempted riots around the country. Almost every single friend I had who was there remarked to me, or remarked publicly, that it was old. The crowd was old. It was a bunch of senior citizens. It was a bunch of, well, this.
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about everything. And I just am so scared and upset. And I don't understand why people voted for this person.
Let's talk about that. In fact, let's just have a little chat, shall we? You saw that. I saw that. And it's unbelievably sad for a variety of reasons. But one of the things that really hits you is 74 years old? 74 years old, and you're some completely insane nut job crying on TV over things that aren't true? How can this be? And you want to know why you had that thought? Why I had that thought? Because we have this image of what an older person should be. Us normal people, or maybe you are an older person, we have this image of what a 74-year-old woman should be. A 74-year-old woman should be a loving grandma. She volunteers at the church. She bakes cookies, probably knits. Her house smells funny, but she's wonderful. That's how we picture a 74-year-old woman, or maybe you are that 74-year-old woman. So when we see a video of one like that, it begs the question, how? Why? When you look at the protests, because hardly anybody showed up, which we'll get to in a moment, but when you look at the protests, all these people, legions of old people, hardly any young people, how? Why? Well, let me explain. Let me pause on this and explain. I read a story a little while back. It wasn't important. It certainly wasn't national news. I think it was out of New Jersey, possibly New York. It was a mafia story. And the story was some mafia guy had capped some other mafia guy in the head, shot him, killed him. And the guy who did the killing was late 60s. I want to say he was 68 years old. And it hit me then, 68 years old? You should be a grandpa. You should be at your grandson's t-ball games and stuff like that. You're shooting people in the head at 68 years old? But here's the thing about life and the way life works, you see. You will choose a path in this life. And if you choose the wrong path, you will actually get worse the longer you're on it. You will lose more and more of your mind and your soul the longer you are on the bad path. Think about it like alcohol. If I go out tonight, I take the earpiece out of my ear, and I buy a whole bottle of whiskey, and I drink a whole bottle of whiskey tonight. Oh, I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be feeling rough, but it won't be the end of the world. Give me a day, some water, some ibuprofen, and I'll recover just fine. But what if I did that every single day for a year? What's my health look like? What's my liver look like? Now 2 years, now 3 years, now 4 years. What do I look like? What do I physically look like after 20 years of that? What do my organs look like after 20 years of that? Now think about the average American Democrat who never breaks out of the propaganda network they live in. We love to point to young, crazy Democrats, these young communists, and we talk about how crazy young people are and these young people are nuts. But the truth is, that's a young human being still figuring out who they are, what they believe, what they want. Their mind is still developing. And that young person, even the craziest of the crazy ones, can still probably turn things around because they haven't been on the path, the dark path of communism for so long. But when you are a 74-year-old woman, you've spent how many decades consuming CNN, reading the New York Times, listening when Democrats call Republicans Hitler? You think to yourself that human being should be settled and wise and making cookie for the grandkids. That human being, because they've been drinking that bottle of whiskey for decades, is way more messed up than the 20-year-old could ever be because she got on a dark path and has been marching down it. That's why these protests, it was mainly old people. You see, they couldn't really get it off the ground. They spent allegedly $2.1 billion. That's the number out there. $2.1 billion of money, some of it taxpayer money, shelled out to different communist groups around the United States of America because they wanted something gigantic. They wanted something that would stop the presses. They wanted this national blowout riot. That's what they actually wanted. But they didn't get it. In fact, really the only people they could get out there were the older people. Why didn't they get it? Why did it fail? I mean, they brought in all the heavy hitters, even communist John Denver.
You are the community to this president's chaos. And together, we build a future of opportunity and justice for all. Hope over fear, aspiration over anger, the promise of America for each and every American. That is what we are fighting for today.
So why didn't it pop off? Well, the thing about riots, whipping up the public into a mass frenzy, you can do it sometimes. You can't do it all the time. And if it turns out, if the cause turns out to be a scam, you will have difficulty bringing out the normies the next time you want to have one. You see, that's what takes a riot from being some fairly embarrassing little protest with communist John Denver into being something that looks huge, that looks national. It's not the communist agitators. You can always pay those freaks and get them out into the streets. You need the normies to participate. You need average, normal American to turn through the channels on the television and see protests and think, I want to get involved. You need normie American to get on Facebook or wherever they are and say, oh my gosh, did you see that? They're protesting downtown. Let's go. But the reason the numbers weren't there is that normie American stayed home. Why? Why did the normie American stay home? Why can't the communists seem to whip people up into a frenzy anymore? Two reasons, two gigantic reasons. COVID and George Floyd. COVID, we watched. Well, we watched a lot of this.
I want to be clear in how I characterize it. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
Excuse me, any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
The beautiful thing is we're seeing citizens who are caring and concerned. They're hitting the streets.
Heartwarming to see so many people turn out peacefully.
You know, Brooke, I think this is a march, really.
But as they're coming off, it's peaceful. They're saying peaceful protest.
Across the country, it's bringing people together, community with unity.
People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
What happened was the American communist, he turned on Norm and Normie, turned them into fellow rioters, fellow travelers, and the American people, many of them, they took to the streets. They participated in communist-created insanity. Whether it's the mania around COVID, you better wear a mask or you can't come to Thanksgiving. Maybe it's the St. George Floyd stuff. But what happened was, at the back end of all of that, normie American, not talking you and me always knew the truth. Normie Americans sat at home. Their child's education had been destroyed. They just had their fourth stroke at the age of 35. They realized that taking Aunt Jemima off of the pancake batter probably didn't do anything to solve the problem of racism. Normie American looked around at the end of communist agitation after communist agitation, and they said to themselves, I don't feel like these people are honest brokers. I don't feel like the media, the Democrat Party, I don't feel like anything they're saying is true. The last time I went along with these things, my country got melted in front of me. Now what's happened is Democrats have reached the end of their current credibility. They may get some back one day. That's how it works. But as of right now, the true crisis for the American media, the true crisis for the American Democrat Party is a credibility crisis. They took the last of the public trust and they built a George Floyd statue with it. And now Normie stays at home when Randy Weingarten screeches at them from the stage. It's wonderful. That too may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. You know we shower in estrogen? Just think about that. Not only do we drink estrogen, it's in our water, we shower in it. And I guess that probably helps explain why American men have lost half their testosterone in 50 years. 50% down in 50 years. It is a societal crisis that goes beyond politics. It really goes beyond anything. We can't continue as a country without testosterone. But what do we do about that? Oh, I know there's a new clinic on the corner. You can go down and get a needle jammed in your arm, or you could handle it naturally. Chalk has natural herbal supplements for everybody, men, women, young, old. They have a male vitality stack. That's what I take every single day. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. You're going to feel like a different person. You'll be mad at all the time you weren't taking it. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Okay, let's get an update on deportations because the Trump administration, frankly, has been awesome so far. They're even going into the heart of enemy territory, places like Los Angeles where these scumbags tend to congregate, and they're rooting them out. Now, came out last week and he indicated publicly that he's going to back off with, you know, farms and hotel workers. But then today we find out they're reversing that too. I don't know what the truth is with all this right now. I bet Victor does. Joining me now, Victor Avila, retired ICE agent. Victor, it's been doing my heart well to see ICE out there rounding up the scum in this country. Where's the Trump administration with all this right now?
I got to tell you the reality. I'm going to tell you the truth. There is some turmoil. I don't want to use that word really, but there is some confusion of the mission between the president's office and ICE and the leadership all the way down to the field agent. Exactly because of what you just said. President Trump says one thing, and then the ICE department is saying something else. It causes a lot of confusion, and it causes a lot of issues down to the field level as to who they go approach and pick up. Now, when we talk about the criminal illegal aliens, I don't think anybody has a problem. The left's going to have a problem with anybody, but I think the common American wants that criminal illegal alien gone. And we are targeting, there, we have millions of those, by the way, that we could target that are only known gotaways that came in the last 4 years and that have actually deportation orders already issued to them. So there's plenty of work to go pick up those categories. Yes, they're encountering what they call the collaterals, the ones that don't have any criminal history, and they're going to go too because they're not, they're, that discretion doesn't exist anymore. Now, when you talk about the agricultural workers and the hotel industry workers and all that, that is something that is up for discussion if you really wanted to talk about that, and let's have the discussion. But I think we have to be very clear as to what to do and what they're not to doing, because the confusion doesn't help either way when it comes to the mission.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the lamest question in the world in the lamest way, but I think you'll get what I'm saying. I'm confused why there's confusion, meaning the Trump administration has been pretty clear-eyed about this whole thing. Is it the social media posts? Are they giving two different sets of orders? Because that's not fair to the ICE guys. Why are the ICE guys confused?
I think it has to do with some of the people that are in some of these positions, higher up positions within the agency of DHS and ICE, that might not be on the same page here. And that's concerning. And so they are undermining the orders of the President of the United States. And they think that they could then give their orders to their own people. And of course, you know, you as an agent, you listen to your supervisor and your supervisor's supervisor, and here we go, the old chain of command, right? And I think that needs to be picked up and has to be very, very clear. And I think it has to do with the starting from the top.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears here, focus on these quacky blue states like New York. We have New York's AG Letitia James publicly saying that she's going to be going after New Yorkers, cops who try to help ICE. What is with all this garbage?
It is garbage. And just like the New York comptroller that just got arrested for impeding and obstructing ICE. I got to tell you, it upsets me when they keep on spreading lies. And the one that they spread is that for some reason, they think that an ICE agent has to show some kind of a judicial warrant. I'm here to tell you, as a retired special agent with Homeland Security Investigations under ICE, that they need absolutely no warrant whatsoever. I, in my career, arrested many, many people without any warrant. As a matter of fact, most of the arrests that I conducted in my career, there was no warrant involved. This is a myth that the left and the media has started pushing out, especially to the illegal alien community, saying that they have to show you some kind of warrant. That is not true. The other thing that this elected official is yelling out, that that ICE agents don't have the authority to arrest you as citizens. Are you kidding me? I don't know where they get this information from, but an ICE agent, a federal agent, is the same as a police officer, is the same as a sheriff. They have certain rights under certain authority under certain jurisdictions, and yes, it involves U.S. citizens. Again, I will tell you, I arrested and jailed many U.S. citizens throughout my career. And I wanted to make that clear, because for some reason, when we attach immigration to this discussion, you don't hear that about the local police when they pull over somebody for DUI or somebody for a robbery, or even when you talk about FBI. But as soon as you talk about immigration officials, for some reason, they don't get the authority that they deserve, or the attention that they deserve, that they do have behind the law. And it's very discerning to me, because they, like Letitia James and others, are going to end up finding themselves in handcuffs for continuing to obstruct this process. And Tom Homan has made it very clear that you're not above the law, taking their own words out of their mouths, and you are going to find yourself in custody and be prosecuted for this.
Lord willing. I can't wait to see some Democrats arrested. Thank you, Victor. I appreciate it. Come back soon. Okay, so last week we interviewed Miranda Devine, which we love to do because she has some sweet new podcast called Pod Force One, and apparently she's just going to get all the heavy hitters on there, and she had a chance to talk to somebody who fascinates me. I've never met the man, never talked to the man, but he seems sharp. I wonder what Miranda thought about him. She interviewed Scott Bessent, joining me now, wonderful columnist for the New York Post, Miranda Devine. Okay, Miranda, You had a chance to sit down, take the measure of the man. What'd you think?
I think he's a wonderful man, and we're extremely lucky to have him in charge of Treasury. I mean, as the most powerful global financier, you could not ask for a better pedigree, a better background, track record, brain, temperament, you name it. We are extremely lucky. This is the guy who broke the Bank of England, made $1 billion in a day from doing that. And, you know, you can't blame someone, the financiers, for doing a good job of exploiting the, you know, mistakes that a government makes. And what now we have Scott Bessent on our side, he's going to make sure that no one can exploit the United States and that we always get the best end of the deal, which, of course, is Donald Trump's aim as well.
Miranda, I get the impression, given how often I see him on television, how often Scott Bessent is sent to negotiations with other people, I get the impression that Donald Trump thinks extremely highly of him and trusts him a great deal. Do you get that?
Definitely. He respects him enormously. And, I mean, in part, that's because the rest of the world respects him. You know, he just proved himself over and over. I mean, he made billions in what he was doing in trading in the stock market. And he also just has proven himself now. He's a professor. He's, you know, understands everything there is to know about the economy. Stanley Druckenmiller was his mentor. So he's at the perfect stage in his career when he can step back and now apply all that knowledge he got in the real world to fulfilling Donald Trump's policy aims. And as you said, I mean, just last week he was there in London, neutral territory, to try and reset the China trade relationship, which had really gotten ugly and out of hand, and there was retaliation on both sides and effectively, I mean, an embargo on trade. So he managed to do that and at least reset them, and now they're set for proper trade talks. So yes, Donald Trump is trusting him with a lot of things. I mean, he even sent him to Ukraine, if you remember, to negotiate that rare earth minerals deal with Zelensky, which didn't go too well. But I mean, that obviously was Zelensky's problem, and he showed, you know, the same attitude when he came to the Oval Office. And Scott Bessent was there as well. So he's right at the heart of everything, you know, that the government does. And he was in the Situation Room with Donald Trump. He told me during, you know, all this Iran drama. And he did say, he couldn't obviously talk about what was going on, but what he did say is, if the American people could see the way President Trump conducts himself and the way he's talking to international leaders, etc., they would feel very comforted by the fact that he's doing such a good job.
You brought up him, Scott Bessent, I'm sorry, in China, and, well, this is a little snippet of all that.
You just recently flew to London to have some pretty willing trade negotiations with the Chinese. And I think this was just over the sort of retaliatory measures that China had slapped on America. For instance, magnets and some rare earths they had put a ban on, and then we'd slapped some payback to them. And so did you manage to sort that out? And do you think that we're going to get to a point that Donald Trump has said he wants, where China opens up to America?
Well, on the whether they'll open up, we'll see. I believe that Chinese were feeling more pain. You know, their system takes pain better, but I believe it was probably very painful for them, because that we import three times more than we sell to them. So we are the deficit country in the history of trade wars. The surplus country always takes more pain.
And their economy is not doing very well, is it, at the moment?
You know, they're in the middle of a real estate downturn. Some might call it a crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had low growth. There's something called the middle income trap for developing economies. And what we will see with China is, can they be a reliable partner?
Miranda, I played that because I wanted to gauge how adversarial the Trump administration actually is with China. And I ask that very much on the heels of this report from Kash Patel that the Chinese were highly invested in some way in making sure Donald Trump lost his election to Joe Biden. And we don't know how much they played a role in that. We don't know if they actually got the presidency for him, but they did something, or at least they attempted to.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? What we're hearing now about the sort of Chinese malevolence. I mean, just the other day, the FBI picked up, I think, three scientists who were trying to smuggle in some really awful biologic agent to sabotage our agriculture, I think some sort of fungi. And so, I mean, that's frightening. I don't think that the Trump administration is under any illusion that China is, you know, our friend. And certainly the way that these trade negotiations have been going, China thought that they had snookered us because these little rare earth magnets are in like practically every motor. And, you know, quite a strategic problem for us. But by the same token, you know, we played hardball. The administration played hardball back. And 250 of their planes had been grounded by the time Scott Bessent and Howard Lutnick met with them in London last week. And they were being grounded at the rate of 250 a week because America just said no more aircraft parts for you, China. Marco Rubio was saying no more Chinese students. Howard Lutnick, Commerce Department, had put a ban on a substance, a petrochemical called ethane, which is a crucial element of plastics, which of course a lot of stuff out of China is made of plastic. So, you know, two can play at that game. And I think that was a bit of a wake-up call for China. And they do, you know, I'm told that the negotiators, they sent their vice president, a guy called He, there, and they're all very respectful, particularly of Scott Bessent. I think they realise that it's a new sheriff in town and no more of the sort of weak attitude. And really, I mean, it's Joe Biden, for the millions of dollars, tens of millions that he and his family raked in from China. And the fact now we're seeing with this new FBI revelations that China was trying to manufacture some fake ballots or, you know, fake driver's licenses to get fake votes on behalf of Joe Biden. You can tell Joe Biden was China's man. And that's no longer the case. And so I think what Scott Bessent told me was that the administration is looking to do a strategic decoupling from China. You can't do an entire decoupling. You can't totally isolate in this kind of globalist economy that we have. You can't completely isolate from China, but you can ensure that they never again have the power to withhold something like rare earth magnets from us and, you know, threaten our national security and our economic security. So that will never happen again. And he blames previous administrations for allowing that situation to happen. I asked him, you know, about allowing China into the WTO back in 2001. Should people have known back then what a disaster it would have been for American jobs? And he said, look, the problem that Larry Fink had told him is that it was capitalism without guardrails. You can't have that. So they're trying to erect the guardrails again.
Miranda, I appreciate you. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And look, there's just something amazing about boats. I don't know why. I love boats. I grew up always getting down by the water, whether it was a friend's swimming pool, an ocean, a lake, a river. And I've always loved boats. I love being on them. I love looking at them. I go to this huge boat show that's down here in Houston all the time. I'm never going to buy one because it's a huge waste of money, but I pretend every single year. But there is a drawback to boats, and I don't know what it is. I think it's something inside of the human mind. Boats make people do dumb things. I have done dumb things on boats. I've sunk a boat in the middle of the Madison River in Montana one time. In fact, as far as I know, it's still there. So it's time to lighten the mood and be careful out there.
A lot of news is boring
and tedious
and depressing
and makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.